Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us for the next half hour of the program. John has, in his gospel, a handful of big miracles that appear to get bigger and bigger as time goes by, and one of them, kind of near the center of the gospel, is this one, Jesus healing a man who was born blind. He's blind not by accident or any other cause, but he came out that way. And Jesus heals him, not only an amazing spectacle in itself, but he does so on a Sabbath as well, making this a very interesting sign that Jesus performs for those who would believe in him. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials at Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing well, and you?
I'm doing great. This is another one of those wonderful Bible stories where you get things, very earthy things, and the power of God brought together, and amazing things happen.
Before we get to the means by which Jesus heals this blind man on the Sabbath, what would everyone have assumed of someone who was actually born blind?
Well, they would assume sin, and either the sin of the person in the womb, their sin they come with, or the sin of their parents. And that was how people thought in that day, you know, and that was the question that the people asked Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And that was the natural course of thinking back then. Jesus, of course, answers them.
Now, that's kind of the subtext here, because if what they assume is true, Pam, that and maybe Jesus leaves them unconvinced when he says it's not really a matter of who sinned, but who's standing here ready to heal this man. But if they remain unconvinced, for Jesus to heal the sin that everyone would have assumed was the result of some grievous sin would have meant something about Jesus, wouldn't it?
That's right. There's a powerful message in this, and as there is with every miracle that our Lord did or does, the fact that they're all figuring sin is deeply involved here, and then this man who is peculiar to them, he preaches, he teaches, he's done some other miracles, lots of curiosity, but if you think that the blindness is caused by sin, and then this man does away with the blindness, there's got to be some divine connection here.
Doesn't,
and what is it?
Doesn't that mean, I mean, even though their assumption is incorrect, doesn't it mean that if he can heal blindness caused by sin, then he can deal with sin ultimately?
Well, I think that's right. And this is all about Jesus showing the people in many and various ways who he is, what he's come to do for them and for us as he moves towards that great day when the world becomes dark, he hangs on the cross and pays for the sins of the whole world so that we can have the bright white light of Easter and heaven in eternity because Christ rose from the dead. All of this is part of leading to that and helping people to see here, as Jesus says, it wasn't that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. And he wants people to know who he is. And this is another billboard, neon sign.
Okay, it takes, I think, the entire chapter to tell this story. Tell us
yes,
as briefly as you can.
Sure. The time is the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. They're in Jerusalem, likely near the temple, though the text doesn't say that. And they pass by a blind man. And the disciples ask that question, and Jesus says, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. And then he spits on the ground and makes mud with his spit. Now, this is a great story for boys, isn't it? In the summer, love to play in mud. Jesus takes that mud, puts it on the man's eyes, and says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And that word Siloam means sent. So there's a little double meaning there. He sends him to the pool. The man goes and washes, and he comes back seeing. Now, people are amazed, and now they're confused. Isn't this the guy who was blind? Isn't this the one we know who sat here and begged? And some thinks he is, some thinks he isn't. And so they ask him, and he says, the man Jesus did this to me, told me to go to the pool and wash, and I went and I got my sight. And then they want to know where he is, and now, you know, they're realizing there's something going on here. So the good Jews that they are, they bring the man to the Pharisees because it's a Sabbath, and Jesus had made this mud. He had worked on the Sabbath, which in their minds is a violation of the law of God. And so now the Pharisees are quizzing him and trying to put Jesus on the defensive, trying to make him look bad, saying, you know, he can't be from God because he didn't keep the Sabbath. So there's all this ruckus going on. Some say he's a prophet. Others don't know what to say. Some don't believe the man was blind. Then they call the man back a second time, and they plead with him, give glory to God. In other words, tell the truth. Tell the truth what went on here. We know this man is a sinner, and the blind man who now can see has this wonderful line. Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. And then they ask him again, tell the story, and he tells them. And and then he asks, you know, he invites him to be a disciple of Jesus. And in all of this, he's really being pulled into faith by the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus' healing and his word. And this all goes on, and the Pharisees finally won't have any more of it. They cast him out of the temple, and Jesus finds him, and he hits him with the question of questions. Do you believe in the Son of Man? And he says, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? And Jesus tells him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. And here's the great statement of faith. He says, Lord, I believe. And he worships Jesus. And that's kind of the end of the story. Some of the Pharisees hear these things, and they say to Jesus, are we also blind? And Jesus says to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. And so that's the quick Reader's Digest version.
Well, you know, just hearing you go over it again, there's so much in here. I mean, there's a question about... they don't know where he came from, which is another big issue in John's gospel. His opponents are the only ones who seem to not know where he came from. the fact that Jesus takes this entire scenario, not only heals this man and brings him and apparently his parents to faith, but that in the end, those who do not believe, end up blinder than they were at the beginning. I mean, he really turns the tables here.
Yeah. There's so much going on, and this whole theme of blindness, darkness, sin, Christ being the light of the world, opening our eyes, we've talked before about having eyes of faith. All of that is in this chapter 9 of John, and it's really quite an amazing story, and it really is all about people knowing who Jesus is, the Son of God, who can do away with sin, who can heal us of our worst sickness, if you want to call blindness a sickness, of our worst problem. But this isn't about blindness. It is about sin and the Son of Man who's come to take care of it once and for all. And these Pharisees are unnerved. They're unglued by him. And each time they have an encounter with him, they just can't stand it. And, of course, we know how that turns out. He ends up on a cross because they can't stand it. But quite a story here. And then to watch the blind man be drawn in, obviously, this great thing has happened to him. He's still not completely sure. He knows something's happened. He knows that there's a connection to God. He says this man is a prophet. He realizes there's some significance here, and then Jesus just makes it very clear and asks him and tells him who he is.
Well, when we come back from this break, we're going to continue our conversation with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, talking about John chapter 9. The entire chapter is devoted to this story of Jesus healing the man born blind on the Sabbath with mud, those two things. This is what something done on the Sabbath. This apparently convinces Jesus' opponents that there's no possible way that Jesus could be the Christ. He is a sinner, they say. He's healing on the Sabbath, something that they believed should not be done. Also, we'll get to the running theme that many of our conversations this summer return to with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, and that is Jesus using the physical elements of this world to do his miraculous and divine work, and he still is doing that. Our call-in number on this Monday afternoon, the 2nd of August, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Email us right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. Their Sunday school curriculum is called Growing in Christ. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org. Look for Growing in Christ. Click Listen on Demand. Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Stephen Parks, on why your congregation should join the Issues Etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues Etc. My own congregation is a very small church, and I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues Etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. 300.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. John chapter 9, Jesus healing with mud. This is a problem, Pam, because, I mean, I can't think of anything more elemental than, in terms of work, than for Jesus to do this. The Jewish leaders were quite particular, not only as a matter of practicality, also as a matter of principle. For someone even to feign doing work on the Sabbath was considered blasphemous. And Jesus here, although it is just a little spit and some dirt, he does, by their definition, he definitely is doing work on the Sabbath. And they're quite upset about it.
Well, that's right. And in the Lutheran Study Bible here, the note says that the rabbis list kneading dough among 39 forms of work forbidden on the Sabbath. And that covered kneading spit and mud on the Sabbath day. So, yes, but, you know, looking at it from another way, we know, we can see with eyes of faith, and we can look back on this knowing all the rest of the story that they didn't know yet. Jesus is being so in their face, and for all the right reasons, so bold here. He is the Son of God. He is God. These are his laws. He can break them. He can do what he wants. The God who created man out of the dust of the earth now takes the dust of the earth and mixes it with his own spit and heals a man born with blindness, and he does it on the Sabbath. And those that are there and are speculating, there's some God or divine connection here, they're on to something. That's right, because who could do this but God? Who could undo what they obviously understand as something caused by sin in the world, if not the specific sin of these people, something that wasn't right by the creation back in the first weeks of the world. So this is amazing that he's doing it, and they still can't see it. They can't get it, and so they just look at him as a man and as a sinful man breaking God's law, blaspheming, and they can't handle it. And they got to put him out by everything they believe and understand about what God would have them do. They can't put up with this anymore. And this just keeps getting more and more how they view Jesus until they put him on the cross. So, it's very, I think, very amazing that he's doing this on the Sabbath. And interesting how blind the Pharisees, the spiritual ones, are to what's going on. And that here they have Christ, the light of the world, shining his light, and they're still in utter darkness.
There are other connections within this chapter. You mm-hmm. mentioned before that Jesus says, "We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work." And connecting to what you just said there, Jesus seems to be saying, and he immediately after that commences to heal this man in a way that the Jewish leaders found offensive. It seems as though he is saying, look, I'm going to do God's work. Mm-hmm. And to do God's work on the Sabbath is not to break it, but to keep it.
That's right. That is what he's saying, and it's what he's doing. He is God, and he's doing the works of God, and these are God's works of mercy and salvation. And he says, in the midst of all that, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He's come to do this work, to complete, to keep these laws, as only he, God, can, and to complete what must be done for all of the world, broken and dying in the darkness of sin and death. And that's what he's doing here. And they're so in that sin and death that they can't see the light.
You were trained as a deaconess, and mm-hmm. I think part of the charter of the deaconess, or the corps of deacons, or whatever we call them, these mm-hmm. these wonderful ladies who devote themselves to the Word of God among us, is our works of mercy.
Yeah,
talk about that, because this is ultimately, Jesus isn't just taking on his opponents, he isn't just giving a sign to his disciples, he is showing mercy.
he is showing mercy. And what's so beautiful about this story is how hands-on Jesus is. He could have thought it and made the man see. He could have spoke it. But he uses his spit and the dirt and his hands and touches the man's eyes. And what a model for those of us in the church, whether we're trained as deaconesses or pastors or we're just children of God, to carry out the mercy of Christ to our neighbor in need, to display care for them in their physical needs as well as their spiritual needs. You know, a thirsty person needs a cup of water. They also need to know their sins are forgiven. It's not one or the other. It's both and that is the mercy arm of the church. And the church, you know, in Acts said we need people devoted to this so that the pastors can be devoted to the preaching and the word. And the church has modeled this and taught it through the centuries. And it's a wonderful service, and it's what we're all supposed to be about, though, isn't it? The mercy of Christ, caring for our neighbor in whatever his need is.
Is this ultimately how Jesus brings all of us out of the blindness of sin, the darkness of sin, and opens our eyes so that we might see and believe?
Well, yeah, the parallel here to what he does for us who are all blind in sin, it connects to our baptism, where with water and the Word of God, dying blind sinners are given life eternal, forgiveness of sins, salvation from sin, death, and the devil, just like this man was. The Holy Spirit created faith in his heart through the works of Jesus and the things that happened that day so that he could confess who Jesus was. So too for us, when the water and the word is applied in holy baptism, there's that great connection. Through the power of God's word, his Holy Spirit working, the same thing happens for us. And it's not just it's not the momentary thing. Yeah, we still go on in our lives in a sinful world, as did this man. Maybe he now could see, but he didn't, didn't make him have a perfect life the rest of his days on this earth. What happened in all of this was that through this, he saw who Jesus was, his Savior from sin and death, and that gave him faith and eternity in heaven, where no more suffering, no more blindness, no more sin of any kind to wreak havoc in his life. And that's the same for you and I.
Finally, then, with only 30 seconds and no more, Jesus says at the beginning of this account, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Is Jesus still in the world and therefore it's light? About 30 seconds.
Well, I hope he's still in this world. Of course he is, through his word and through his sacraments, through his word preached, the word we read, the word that our parents train us up on, the words that our pastors speak to us in the water of holy baptism, in the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper. Jesus is with us. He shines in our lives and in our hearts through that word, and he calls us to himself, lights our path, lights our way, until the day he calls us to permanent glory and light in heaven with him.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. Their Sunday School curriculum, Growing in Christ. Pam, thank you very much.
Thank you, Pastor. Have a great week.
When we come back, it's hour two of Issues, Etc. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is going to join us. This passage, so often misunderstood, many think it is about conversion. I stand at the door and knock. Just open the door. And there's this picture. You've even seen the paintings, haven't you, of Jesus standing out on the doorstep. And he's got his little fist raised as though to knock on the door. Apparently lost his house keys or something like that. Can't get in. And this is a picture of conversion that a lot of Christians sadly think is what's being taught there in Revelation 3. verse 20, the subject of our conversation with Pastor Brian Wolf-Miller on the other side of the break, as though the door of your heart or your life or whatever it may be is locked from the inside. Only you can open it. Jesus cannot get in. He waits until you act before he comes in. Of course, that is not a view of conversion supported by the rest of Scripture. So we'll find out what Revelation 3, verse 20 really means in the second hour of the program. It's Monday afternoon, August the 2nd. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943-877-623-MYIE. Email us, talkback at issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at issuesetc. The next hour, Pastor Brian Wolf-Miller, Revelation 3, verse 20. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.